بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Last night in the discussion on the three fundamental principles, the author, may Allah's mercy be upon him, gave the evidences, the textual as well as the universal evidences concerning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true God worthy of all worship. He emphasized that this is proven by both the textual as well as the universal. And when we say the textual, we mean the legal, pertaining to the revelation. Then he continues, then he continued to give some of the signs in the creation that are evidence for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped alone. He said, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَمِنْ مَخْلُوقَاتِهِ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُونَ السَّبْعُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. He said, Rahimahullah, and from his signs are the night and the day, and the sun and the moon, and from his creation as well are the As-samawatu as-sab', the seven heavens, and the seven earths, and all that's within them, and whatever is between them. Here he, in the example or in the details, he gave universal signs. Why? Because these stand as common proofs for the knowledgeable as well as the ignorant. And he began by the signs of the day and the night for the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the originator, the day and the night. Why the day and the night? First, because they are so evident to us. They interchange, they go in succession, this goes and this comes, all in wonderful as well as in ordered and concise fashion. Similarly, being distinct in their duration is a sign in itself. The night goes longer during the winter and shorter during the winter times, while it increases in duration during the summer and the night goes shorter. All of this is from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High. In themselves they are a sign, as well as in themselves they constitute a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his slaves. Had the night been continuously going on without a daylight, then so much benefits will be hindered and will not come to exist. man's efforts is minimal during the night, and his benefits cannot be attained except during the day. Had there been no night, many would die as well from those who are so much into the life of this world, exerting so much effort in it, because they wouldn't find a resting time. So this night in itself is a great favor from the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for people to take to their homes, rest and sleep, and then become motivated for the next day, a new day and a new activities. In short, the signs of the day and the night are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but man or most people perceive little about them and contemplate little about them. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeated the signs concerning the day and the night many times in the Quran, lest we take this for granted and we become heedless and we forget that these are signs from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we can single Him alone in lordship and thus in worship. We read in Surah Yasin in chapter 36 verse 40, قال الله عز وجل للشمس ينبغي لها أن تدرك القمر ولا الليل سابق النهار. And this is the point of evidence. وكل في فلك يسبحون. It is not for the sun to overtake the moon, nor does, and this is the point of evidence, nor does the night outstrip the day. Allah causes the night to envelop and cover the day, so that it is like a garment which descends upon the light of the day and covers it up. We read also about that in Surah Az-Zumar in chapter 39 verse 5, in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ وَيُكَوِّرُ النَّهَارَ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ. He makes the night to go in the day and makes the day to go in the night, making it to be a covering upon the day. And the opposite is true. Then the other signs which the author rahimahullah discussed are the two evident signs, the sun and the moon. These are from the universal signs created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, testifying for His existence and that Him Himself is the Lord who deserves to be worshipped alone. They go in courses. They proceed in exact courses, well-ordered courses and wonderful courses. Since Allah created them, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees their destruction, the destruction of this whole universe, they are in constant procession. قال الله تعالى in Surah Yasin 36 verses 37 and 38, وآية لهم الليل نسلخ منه النهار فإذا هم مظلمون والشمس تجري لمستقر لها. And a sign for them is the night, we withdraw there from the day, and behold, they are in darkness. Then the next verse, and the sun runs on its fixed course for a term appointed. And that is the decree of Allah, the Almighty, All-Knowing. Constantly running until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits the destruction of this worldly life. And that's why when there is sunset in some direction, the sun appears on others in another direction. And this does not oppose in any way what came in the authentic narration, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this, and meaning this, meaning the sun, runs until it goes to a place, its place under the throne, and then it prostrates under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under His arsh. This is because it's possible that if it sets with respect to some people, that it goes and prostrates under the throne while constantly proceeding on its course. Magnificent coordination, running for a whole year. And the moon, Allah decreed for it measured mansions. Allah makes the moon appear like a thread. Then its illumination increases and becomes perfected on the course of its motion, of its procession to the next phase. After it becomes a full moon, it turns to diminish also, until it goes to its initial state. قال الله تعالى concerning this in Surah Yasin, in chapter 36, verse 39, وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. And the moon we have measured for it mansions to traverse till it returns like the old dried curved date stock. Then in the next verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that each is taking its own course. لَالشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا, in verse 40, لَالشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تُدْرِكَ الْقَمَرِ وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ. It is not for the sun to overtake the moon, nor does the night outstrip the day. They all float each in an orbit. So it cannot take the authority of the moon during the night. So all the sun and the moon and the stars float each in an orbit. And this is dalil, evidence for the magnificence of the creator of the sun and the moon and the stars, and his ability and his wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala. Concerning their benefits, innumerable. From that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Yunus, in chapter 10, verse 5. قال الله تعالى هو الذي جعل الشمس ضياء والقمر نورا وقدرناه وقدره منازل لتعلموا عدد السنين والحساب. It is He, Allah, who made the sun a shining thing and the moon as a light, and measured out its, their meaning, stages, that you might know the number of years and the reckoning. And Allah did not create this, but in truth He explains the signs in detail for people who have knowledge. The sun, the moon takes its light from the sun. Man, animals, plants, seas, and the like benefit from the rays of the sun. And in the ordered course of the moon, timing is achieved for people to organize their livelihoods and their worships and their rituals. And through that, the months and the years has been established. And from the great creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the seven, or are the seven heavens, their loftiness, their vastness, their spherical shape. And from that also are the seven earths, and the earth we live on is one of them. Allah made it subservient and a resting place, and put in it provisions for us to utilize. Allah made the sky above us a canopy, safe and protected ceiling. Allah says about this in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 32. وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا وَهُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. And we have made the heaven, which is the sky above us, a roof, safe and well guarded, yet they turn away from its signs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends from above us, from the clouds between us and the sky, the pure water to drink, and which gives life to vegetation and to cattle. By causing vegetation to grow, in all of them, the heavens and the earth are signs for the believers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated in Surah Al-Jathiyah, chapter 45, verse 3. قال الله تعالى إن في السماوات والأرض لآيات للمؤمنين. Verily in the heavens and the earth are signs for the believers. Mentioning all of this in the Quran as universal signs, telling us of their magnificence, yet at the same time making it clear that such magnificence which Allah describes and which stand as sign for His ability and for Him being the Creator does not in any way necessitate that we give worship or ascribe worship to any of these magnificent signs. That's why Allah mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf or in Surah Fussilat 41:37, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرِ لَا تَسْجُدُوا لِلشَّمْسِ وَلَا لِلْقَمَرِ وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنَّ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. And from amongst his signs are the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. Okay? So he mentioned these magnificent signs. Then he warned us by saying, Prostrate not to the sun, nor to the moon, but prostrate to Allah who created them if you really worship Him. If you really worship Him. So you cannot end up worshipping these signs, this magnificent creation, because they are subservient under control of their creator. So worship their creator. وَاسْجُدُوا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُنْ. Prostrate to Allah who created them, because He is the magnificent creator. And abandon giving worship to any thing and or anyone besides Allah, or to the exclusion of Allah, even though they may look great, that does not entail giving worship to them, because this greatness is not from them. It is from the one who created them. And that's why he said, إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. If you really worship him. So therefore, single him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in worship, and having the whole deen sincerely for him. Then the author rahimahullah cited another verse, and this verse is in Surah Al-A'raf. Inna rabbakumullahu alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal-ardha fi sittati ayyam thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh yughshi al-layla an-nahara yatlubuhu hathitha wash-shamsa wal-qamara wan-nujuma musakharatin bi-amrihi ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr tabarakallahu Rabbul Alameen. Your Lord, meaning your true Lord, is Allah who created all these signs, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, then ascended upon the throne, the Arsh. He causes the night to cover the day, which it follows with haste, and the sun, the moon, and the stars are subservient and subject to his command. Certainly creation and commandment are his alone. Exalted is Allah, the Lord of all creation. This is in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 54. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he created this whole universe, the heavens and the earth and all that's in between, in 6 days. The first day is Sunday and the last is Friday. Four for the creation of the earth and two for the creation of the heavens. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala detailed this in two places in the Noble Quran, or in Surah Fussilat in this respect. Surah Fussilat 41, verses 9 to 12. قال الله تعالى: قُلْ أَإِنَّكُمْ لَتَكْفُرُونَ بِالَّذِي خلق الأرض في يومين وتجعلون له أندادا ذلك رب العالمين. Say, O Muhammad, do you verily disbelieve in him who created the earth in 2 days and you set up rivals in worship with him? That is the Lord of the Alameen, mankind and all that exists. وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ مِنْ فَوْقِهَا وَبَارَكَ فِيهَا وَقَدَّرَ فِيهَا أَقْوَاتَهَا فِي أَرْبَعَةِ أَيَّامٍ سَوَاءً لِلسَّائِلِينَ. He placed therein, in the earth, firm mountains from above it, and he blessed it and measured therein its sustenance for its dwellers in 4 days equal. That is, all these 4 days were equal in the length of the time for all those who ask about the creation. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. Then he stawa, rose over towards the heaven. وَهِيَ دُخَانٌ, when it was a smoke. فَقَالَ لَهَا وَلِلْأَرْضِ اِتْيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا, and said to it and to the earth, commanding, come both of you willingly or unwillingly. They both said, we come willingly. قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ. فَقَضَاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ. فَقَضَاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمَيْنِ. Then he completed and finished from their creation as 7 heavens in 2 days, and he made in each, وَأَوْحَى فِي كُلِّ سَمَاءٍ أَمْرَهَا, and he made in each heaven its affair. وَزَيَّنَّ السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَحِفْظًا ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. And we adorned the nearest lowest heaven with lamps, the stars, to be an adornment as well as to guard from the devils by using them as missiles against the devils. Such is the decree of him, the Almighty, the All-Knower. What's apparent is that these days are like our days, which we know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generalized. So we take it as what we know of the days. Now Allah, if he had willed to create them instantaneously, he would have done so. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala linked the effects to their causes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as necessitated by his hikmah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one free of all imperfection, the Most High. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then ascended upon the throne, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the throne, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the roof of the Firdaus. What is the Firdaus? Firdaus is the middle and highest part of paradise. And being a roof for the Firdaus, which is the middle and the highest part of Al-Jannah, paradise, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the dwellers of the Firdaus, indicates that it has a dome shape, because a thing cannot be at the middle and at its highest point or peak unless it is round. This is supported by the authentic narration reported by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah in his Sahih in volume 9, number 519, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِئَةَ دَرَجَةٍ أَعَدَّهَا اللَّهُ لِلْمُجَاهِدِينَ فِي سَبِيلِهِ كل درجتين ما بينهما كما بين السماء والأرض فإذا سألتم الله فسلوه الفردوس فإنه أوسط الجنة وأعلى الجنة وفوقه عرش الرحمن ومنه تفجر أنهار الجنة. There are 100 degrees in Al-Jannah which Allah has prepared for those who carry on jihad in his cause. The distance between every 2 degrees is like the distance between the sky and the earth. So if you ask Allah for anything, ask Him for the Firdaus, for it is Al-Firdaus, it is the middle and the highest part of Al-Jannah, of Paradise, and at its top is Al-Arsh, the throne of Ar-Rahman, Allah, and from it gush forth the rivers of Al-Jannah, of Paradise. So the Arsh, the throne, being the roof of the Firdaus, which is the middle and highest part of Jannah, indicates that it has a dome shape, because a thing cannot be at the middle and at its highest point or peak unless it is round. This is an arsh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ascended the throne in the best and most majestic ways that fits His Himself and fits His glory subhanahu wa ta'ala. Both the heavens and the earth are subdued to His command. And Allah the Lord is the one who is worshipped. And the evidence for this is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, the first command in Surah Al-Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O mankind, this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, we'll take them 21 and 22. O mankind, worship your Lord who created you. So, who created you, therefore, He deserves to be worshipped. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. So here there is a description explaining the reason for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, He is your Lord. This is the reason, because He created you and nourished you. Therefore, it is a binding duty upon you that you should worship Him. And that's why He said, O mankind, worship your Lord. Why? Because who created you and those who were before you, so that you may become pious. Who has made the earth as a resting place for you, and the sky as a canopy, and sent down water rain from the sky, and brought forth therewith fruits as a provision for you. Then don't set up rivals unto Allah in worship while you know well that He alone has the right to be worshipped. Because He is the sole creator and sustainer and provider. Most mighty and most majestic. All able, all wise, all knowledgeable. To Him belongs لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. To Him belongs the creation and the commandment. Creation and commandment are His alone. So worship Him alone. Ascribe no partners to Him in worship. Don't set up rivals unto Allah while you know that Allah alone has the right to be worshipped. This verse, or these verses, are great textual proofs and intellectual as well proofs, nullifying taking partners with Allah in worship. Since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sole creator, the provider, the sustainer, the one who causes, who brings life and causes death, who runs the affairs of the universe, so therefore you have to single Him alone as the true God, worthy of worship. And whatever you may think of as great is created and is sustained does not possess for himself any benefit. And not for others. And this is exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated as an intellectual proof in Surah Al-Furqan in chapter 25 verse 3 when he said, وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ ولا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا ولا نفعا ولا يملكون موتا ولا حياة ولا نشورا. Yet they have taken besides him other gods that created nothing but are themselves created and possess neither hurt nor benefit for themselves and possess no power of causing death nor of giving life nor of raising the dead. Raising the dead, someone may say, well, there was raising of the dead by Isa alayhi salam, Jesus peace be upon him. Yes indeed, but this is by the leave of Allah. Allah gave him the power to raise the dead. And thus this is not Jesus' own power. The last segment here is where the author rahimahullah related the saying of Ibn Kathir regarding all of these signs. قال ابن كثير رحمه الله تعالى الخالق لهذه الأشياء هو المستحق للعبادة. The creator of these things, all these signs which we have discussed, is the one who deserves to be worshipped. And that's why the author رحمه الله mentioned all of this. He mentioned the legal signs as well as the universal signs, and then detailed some of the very obvious to us of these signs, the day and the night, the sun and the moon, and the heavens and the earths. And then he quoted Ibn Kathir rahimahullah at the end of this segment when he said that Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said, الخالق لهذه الأشياء هو المستحق للعبادة. The creator of these things is the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. Imam Ibn Kathir is the great scholar and al-muhaddith, scholar of hadith, al-mufassir, the interpreter of the Noble Quran, al-mu'arrikh, the historian, Ismail bin Umar bin Kathir, nickname Abu al-Fida. He was born in the year 700 after Hijrah, or after that, slightly after that, in the city of Damascus. And he grew up as an orphan. He took from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. He benefited a lot from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and he loved him so much and he praised him highly. He's famous for his great contributions, particularly his work in hadith and in his tafsir, Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and in his history book Al-Bidayah wal-Nihaya, the beginning and the end, and other books. He died rahimahullah in the year 774 after Hijrah rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'a, wa rahimahullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy also be upon the author. Walillahi alhamdu min qablu wa min ba'd. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. إن شاء الله we'll continue the next segment tomorrow. والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.